I raised the question at the very beginning, why would we want to focus on this theme? If the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. Why should we ponder that particular word? Hatred? Being hated by the world? Who would want to come to a mass on a Saturday morning and reflect on being hated by the world? I thought maybe it would sound better in another language. Mas maganda ba sa Tagalog? Kung napopoot sa inyo ang sanlibutan, dapat ninyong malaman, napoot na ito sa akin bago sa inyo. Just as bad. Just as bad. Whether it's napopoot or hatred, just sounds bad to us. So we might say, well, my goodness, why wouldn't we ponder the beautiful psalm response that we just sang? Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. That's more Easter-y. Doesn't it sound like an Easter theme? Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. But instead we have this, what sounds like a very Lenten theme. About suffering rather than rejoicing. In fact, this verse from the Gospel does come from the Last Supper, so that technically is more Lenten. But why focus on the world's hatred? Well, there are many reasons. One reason is this is what Jesus himself said. This is the Word of God. The very first line of today's Gospel. If the world, Jesus said to his disciples, if the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. So we ponder the word. Yes, it's the word of God. It's also true. It's also true that the world hates the disciples of Jesus just as the world hated Jesus himself. Now, when we reflect on that, we might say, well, actually, a lot of people complain about being hated. In the world, there's a disturbing rise in anti-Semitism. It's not so noticeable in the Philippines, because there's no Jews here, but in the world, there's a lot of, or an increase in rejection of Jews, or hatred of Jews, or even violence against Jews. It's connected to the war, of course, and the decisions of the state of Israel, but people are connecting what the state of Israel does with the people who belong to the Jews. So that's a disturbing thing. And when they say, well, the world hates us, they have a point. The Muslims also have this complaint. People hate us. When we go to other countries, people hate us. They discriminate against us. And they have a point. In fact, if you go online, it seems like everybody hates everybody. You could say anything, make a statement or a proclamation of some strong opinion, and somebody will hate you for it. So, does that apply to what Jesus is saying here? If the world hates you, realize that it hated me first? Not exactly. Maybe everybody hates everybody, but not really. It looks like it when you go to the online world where everybody hates everybody, but in real life, it's not true that everybody hates everybody, and most people don't hate the Jews, and most people don't hate the Muslims, and most people don't hate Christians. In fact, they don't care. They're just living their lives and doing what they do, and most people are not paying any attention to us. So what's Jesus talking about here? He's talking about something that is a real phenomenon, that is, when the truth is proclaimed, when the will of God is proclaimed, there is in the world a strong resistance, a hatred. It's not the same as everybody hating everybody. It's a reaction to the demands of truth, the demands of love, which human nature sometimes resists even strongly. And this is what Jesus experiences. He comes with the gospel of love, with the law of love, with the commandment of love. He comes with the proclamation that love is more powerful, that love is victorious even over death itself. And you would think that's such a positive message. Who would ever reject it? Who would ever hate it? But in fact, he was rejected. He was hated. In fact, he was killed for proclaiming the kingdom of God. And what he's saying here is that if you want to be my disciples, you have to follow the way I led. You have to follow in my footsteps. If I take up a cross, you need to take up a cross. If I suffer for proclaiming the kingdom of God, the kingdom of love, so will you also suffer. Now, we don't experience the kind of suffering that our Christian brothers and sisters experienced perhaps in the early church or even in some parts of the world now. You know that in China, for example, there are Christians violently persecuted. In Nigeria, violently persecuted. In other places. Here, the persecution or the hatred of the world might be experienced more by rejection or ridicule. If you stand up for Jesus Christ or for the truth, somebody will make a joke about you and everyone will laugh. That's a kind of persecution. Doesn't sound like hatred in the mind of the world, but you might feel it like you're being hated or rejected, alienated. It's important to remember here, when Jesus says, if the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. That's just part of the story. That's not the whole gospel. So if we want to proclaim the gospel, we don't limit it to the experience of being hated by the world. Why would that appeal to anyone? No. Listen to what Jesus says as he continues in this same gospel. If you belonged to the world would love its own. But because you do not belong to the world, then I have chosen you out of the world, the world hates you. So you see the other side? Hated by the world, loved by God. Rejected by the world, chosen by God. That gives a little bit better picture. If we want to be loved by someone, we all want to be loved. But if we want to be loved by someone, is it better to be loved by the world or loved by God? God. The right answer is to be loved by God. If we're going to be rejected by anyone, is it better to be rejected by the world or rejected by God? Well, rejected by the world. It's better to be hated by the world if we are faithful to God, if we're opening ourselves to the love of God. That's what Jesus is trying to reveal to us here. It's the whole picture. Yes, it's a Lenten theme, but it's also an Easter theme. Here we are in the Easter season. Why are we still talking about hatred, suffering, persecution? Because it's part of our life. It's still part of our life, even in Easter. Suffering remains part of our life in this world. If we try to deny that or try to pretend it's not so, we're going to be terribly disappointed. So Jesus is giving us the whole picture, the whole gospel, and in fact, this is at the Last Supper when he says this. He's trying to give the disciples the whole understanding of how this works. Yes, following me means losing your life, but it also means gaining your life. It means giving up advantages in this world. It means gaining advantages for eternal life. That's the whole picture. Now, I'd like to apply this principle to what we hear about in the first reading, especially the second part of the first reading, where Paul and Barnabas and Timothy, who's joined them there in Lystra, they encounter these obstacles as they try to proclaim the gospel. They try to go into Asia, and they're prevented by the Holy Spirit, it says. They tried to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Now, this passage from the Acts of the Apostles doesn't explain how they knew that the Holy Spirit was blocking the way. It could very well be that the way they discerned that the Holy Spirit was blocking the way is because they ran into hatred. They ran into hatred. People slammed the doors in their faces. People closed the gates of their cities. People drove them out of town. They experienced hatred, and so they realized, well, that's not the place to go. Let's shake the dust from our sandals here and move on to something else. Now that's possible, although there are other ways the Holy Spirit reveals the will of God to us, but that's one. So as I was reflecting on that, I thought, well, this is actually a common thing. Go way back to the first persecution of the early Christians in Jerusalem. Remember when Stephen was martyred? What happened was there was a severe persecution in Jerusalem, so the believers scattered to their surrounding region. They scattered into Samaria, up into Galilee, in fact, further, up into Syria. See what happened? The world hated them, just as the world hated Jesus, and the effect in God's plan was that the gospel spread. I think that might be what's happening here when the apostles are blocked from going different places, and so they cross over to Macedonia, first time to cross over the border into what's now Europe. It's the spread of the gospel because they're led by the Holy Spirit, but also because they're hated by the world. Paul had this experience all the time. He was always encountering some kind of persecution, some kind of hatred of the world. And it often led to him going to another place. I thought of a modern example of this. I don't remember all the details, but this is the experience of the founder of the SVD, the Society of the Divine Word. Since I went to an SVD seminary, I was always hearing my fellow seminarians asking the intercession of their founder. At that time, he was Blessed Arnold Jansen. Now he's Saint Arnold Jansen. Well, Arnold Jansen lived in Germany at the time when the German government was persecuting the church. In fact, restricting the free exercise of the faith in Germany. And so Arnold Jansen fled to the Netherlands, and he realized all these German Catholics, German priests and religious, who could no longer do their ministry in Germany, now what? He said, well, they must be sent to the world. So it was the beginning of SVDs are a missionary community. It was the beginning of sending Germans to other countries who had not yet received the gospel. So was it because the world hated them? Yes, the world hated them, just as like the world hated Jesus. But it was also so that the gospel would be proclaimed in other places, so that the gospel would be spread. So this is one way to think about this. When we experience trials or resistance or rejection, hatred, it's a painful part of being a disciple, but it's also perhaps a way the Holy Spirit is leading us to go another way. Many people have pointed out that the diaspora of Filipinos all over the world has had the effect of spreading the gospel all over the world. I'm sure you know this. Many people have pointed out that when Filipinos who leave the Philippines, not because of hatred, but because of poverty usually, or in order to pursue better opportunities in different countries, they bring with them their Catholic faith. And then wherever they are, they can influence the secular world. Usually they're in secular countries or countries dominated by other religions. They bring Christianity, bring Catholicism. Very good. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody who happens to leave the Philippines and go to another country becomes a missionary. Because sometimes people lose their faith, or they don't practice their faith, or they're not Christian witnesses. They're not proclaiming with their lives the greatness of the gospel. So that doesn't count. But those who are genuine disciples, those who are faithful and are grateful for the gift they have received, they share it wherever they go. That's a Christian. And that's what Jesus, I think, wants us to understand. Yes, we'll be hated by the world, but we don't belong to the world. We don't belong to the world. We've been chosen out of the world. Our mission is not a worldly mission. Our mission is to be followers of Jesus and witnesses to the greatness of his kingdom, to share with others what we have received. That's the mission. And Jesus wants us to know it, and he gives us his Holy Spirit so that we can do it. Because being hated is such a terrible experience It makes us want to give up. How can we persevere? Not on our own strength, but with the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what the liturgy will be focusing on for the next 2 weeks, right? In our preparation for Pentecost, we'll be focused more and more on the gift of the Holy Spirit and on the strength that we receive to be able to live as faithful Christians, as faithful missionary disciples. The world hates us. It hated Jesus first. Well, that's the way it is. So what? Don't let the hatred of the world stop you from being a faithful missionary disciple. It didn't stop Jesus. It shouldn't stop the church. Shouldn't stop us either. Why? Because we don't belong to the world. We've been chosen out of the world. We have a message that's greater than the world's message. So let us go forth with confidence in the strength of the Spirit to be Jesus' faithful missionary disciples.